I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. It's been a year since the fall of Damascus, the culmination of a 13-year US-UK-EU-backed war to overthrow Syria's government, not long after Israel's Netanyahu warned that longtime Syrian President Bashar al-Assad was playing with fire. NATO nation-backed ISIS and al-Qaeda-linked groups took the ancient capital, ensuring a genocide-compliant Syria. And today, Israel continues its crimes in the region. In Gaza, research from Germany's Max Planck Institute estimates that more than 100,000 Palestinians have been killed. And the October so-called ceasefire has given Gaza's people no respite as Israel presses ahead with the slaughter of children. But Palestinians refuse to be erased. What is behind the proportionately Holocaust-level numbers of EU, US, UK-backed killing? One of the people making sure Palestine's stories will not be buried is Ahmed Al-Naouk, co-founder of We Are Not Numbers. Along with Pam Bailey, he's published an anthology of Gaza's young voices, testimonies of devastation and loss, but also humor, hope, and the refusal to surrender. He joins me again from London. Ahmed, thanks so much for coming back. Numbers, of course, often all we have as journalists, the Max Planck Institute, as I just said, 100,000 perhaps killed. We don't have the figures. Journalists were not allowed in, a point made in the book. What is We Are Not Numbers, as described in your book, in the context of the worst genocide of this century, certainly, but one of the worst in human history?
Well, We Are Not Numbers is an organization that was founded and established in order to defy the reduction of the Palestinians into numbers by the mainstream media. As you have just mentioned, at least 100,000 Palestinians were killed during this genocide, but we are way more than that. We are more than statistics. We are more than numbers. We are human beings, and we have stories to share with the world, the stories of hope, stories of resilience, stories of resistance, stories of love. And we want the world to see us beyond these numbers, beyond these statistics that are often shown in the mainstream media. We are human beings, just like you.
Yeah, I mean, last time you were on, you told us about it. I mean, remind us about the 21 members of your family, let alone the stories in this book.
Well, yeah, I think 2 years ago or earlier than that, I was with you and I talked about the 21 members of my family that were killed in a single airstrike in Gaza when Israel dropped a bomb in my home, killing all of them.
The US F-16. An F-16.
It was F-16, F-35. I don't know. It was an Israeli vehicle that dropped a bomb on my family home, killing the vast majority of my immediate family members, including 14 kids. But I have to say, they were killed on the 22nd of October, 2023. After that, I lost count how many other family members, how many friends and relatives I have lost. I don't know the exact numbers of these of my loved ones who I lost. And that's why we are dedicating most of our time into telling the stories of these people who we have lost, these people who were killed, who did not deserve to die in this very barbaric way. They were humans. They had dreams, and some of them did not even have dreams. Some of them were kids, little kids, 2 or 3 or 5 years old. They did not even start living their life, and they were killed brutally for no crime they have committed, except for being Palestinians, except for being born in such a piece of land.
And at the end of the book, you note that October the 7th must be seen in the context of years of non-violent action, petitions, UN filings, appeal to the ridiculous ICC, let alone the Great March of Return. It was a culmination.
Yes, we Palestinians over the past 77 years, we have tried all forms of resistance, all forms of a struggle against against the occupation, calling for our freedom, calling for our dignity, calling for our rights. None of them worked. We have tried peaceful resistance. It did not right. It did not work. We tried the armed resistance. It did not work. We are sick and tired of trying and for pleading for our rights, for resisting the occupation. We are just the humans who deserve to live. And we need the world to stand with us. Unfortunately, we Palestinians, we have done everything in our power to stop the genocide, to stop the occupation, to advocate for our rights. But we have been failed from our brothers, from our sisters in the world, and from the Western powers who have seen Palestinians as mere numbers, as people who are unworthy of life.
And tell us about the book itself. I know one story was about entry, as it were, was about how someone managed to read, 150 novels on PDF format. We covered on Going Underground the ongoing need for Israel to destroy all the libraries and universities and areas of culture to, as part of an ethnic cleansing operation, to destroy a culture. Tell us about the book itself.
I think you refer to the story written by Khaled Al-Ustaz, who is one of my dear friends, and who was a bookworm, who lived in Gaza and who was reading all the books online. Because, you know, in Gaza, which is very sad, we don't have the luxury of going to a bookshop and grabbing a book and buy it and reading, because people are more focused on getting their basic necessities of life. But yet we in Gaza, we had libraries, we had bookshops, a few of them, but we had them. We had some of the big libraries at the universities, at Al-Azhar University, at the Islamic University. And you know what happened? What happened is that when the Israeli army went to Gaza, the first thing they did is going to these universities, bombing them, burning the libraries of these universities so that the Palestinians do not even read. But nonetheless, I'm telling you, I'm very surprised with our writers in Gaza, because despite the genocide, despite the ongoing slaughter of the Palestinians, despite being them displaced once and twice and 10 times sometimes, they have continued to read PDF online, and they have continued to write and produce a lot of work. You know, and we are not numbers. Before the genocide started, we would publish 10, 15 stories a month on our website. During the genocide, we would receive tens of stories, sometimes more, four times the number of stories we received before the genocide. And that tells you a lot about the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are people who are eager to education. They are eager to educate themselves. They're eager to learn, to read, to write, to produce. They are artists, they are lovers, they're educators, they're educated people, and they have a lot to share with the world. And that's why we are publishing our book. That's why we started We Are Not Numbers, because we want to show the world the love that we have, the care that we have, the sympathy, the love for education, the love for work, and the love for storytelling. And there is nothing more powerful than a story when it is written by young people in Gaza who have lived and breathed the air of Gaza, who have endured decades of a blockade, decades of occupation, and they have a lot of stories to share. They have a lot of stories to tell, and they are eager to be read. They're eager to be viewed by people as a human beings, not as a human animals, as described not only by the Israeli army, but also by some of its allies in the West.
Yeah, the only view of Palestinians, if you could see it uncensored online, of course, were not even numbers. It was body parts, literally. And isn't there an irony that you're talking about the importance of words, but actually your book shows the ineffectiveness of words, of courageous journalism. So many journalists killed as well. Isn't that the irony, that actually words fail when it comes to stopping Western powers, Britain, the European Union and the United States, from arming this genocide under Joe Biden and the present leaders of Western Europe?
Well, definitely words fail us. There are no enough words in our vocabulary, in our dictionary, that could describe the level of and the scale of destruction and pain and suffering and trauma and devastation of the Palestinian people in Gaza. But also words are very, very important. And that is exactly why Israel meant to kill as many journalists as they can in Gaza. That's why Israel meant to kill the co-founder of We Are Not Numbers, Dr. Rifat Al-Arir, because he was a poet, because he was a writer. And that's why Israel meant to kill the top university professors in Gaza. It's because they understand the value of words. It's because they understand the effectiveness of words and journalism and writing and journalism. That is why they made a genocide of scholars, of artists, of writers, of readers.
And
because they understand how powerful our writing is.
But do you think it does stand as a testament to the failure of nonviolent resistance, in effect, this book? It doesn't work.
I have to say, We Are Not Numbers is built on the principle of nonviolent resistance. This is how we resist Israel. We resist Israel in our form as We Are Not Numbers in words, in writing, in journalism. And yes, I understand that.
I mean, you yourself say it in the book, only violence seems to draw attention.
Violent, unfortunately, we have been living a reality where there is only bloodshed that gets the Palestinians to get some attention to the Palestinian people. But we don't want this attention if it comes after the bloodshed of the Palestinian people. We're just stating a fact that unfortunately, only when the Palestinians are killed and only when the Israelis sometimes are hurt, there's all the media and all the world start talking about Gaza, but they never mention Gaza. They never talk about Gaza when we are being slowly killed by the Israeli occupation. This is not advocating for armed resistance. It is just stating the fact that the media attention that we receive happens only when we are being killed, or only when some Israelis are killed, unfortunately.
But how many of the contributors to this volume do you think will be drawn now to see that violence, as tried from Havana to more recently Burkina Faso to so many places all around the world, is the answer to defeat power, that just culture cannot succeed in overcoming injustice?
Well, I don't know. In We Are Not Numbers, we have over 400 writers. 59 writers contributed to this book. This is a wide range of Palestinians who lived in Gaza and outside Gaza, and they will have different backgrounds. They will have different opinions about this matter. What we do in We Are Not Numbers is that we promote the nonviolent peaceful resistance through arts, through words, through journalism and media.
I mean, I'm obviously not trying to entrap you. I know how sensitive it is in London, where you are.
That's
sensitive in the Middle East. Describe your shock at being, you call it mainstream media, we call it so-called mainstream media because more and more people, thankfully, are abandoning it. Describe your shock at being interrogated on so-called mainstream media in Britain and the European Union. The place is arming the genocide, interrogating you as if somehow you were to blame or Palestinians were to blame for the genocide.
Well, I was shocked and not shocked at the same time when I was interrogated by the mainstream media. I was not shocked because I studied mainstream media in the West. I would say Western media. I studied it at my master's degree when I studied journalism. I studied it carefully when I was in Gaza, when I covering the March of Return. And I knew that the mainstream media has always been the problem. I knew that the mainstream media in the West would always lie about what is happening in Gaza, would always give Israel, repeat Israeli lies, and would take the cue from Israel and all of that. I was aware of all of this, but I was shocked that even when a Palestinian loses 21 members of his family in one hit, in one go, they would still interrogate him. I expected some decency from the mainstream media journalists. I expected some sympathy. I expected some a platform where I can express my grief.
Name the shows.
Well, I was interviewed by Talk TV with the late James Whale, and I believe that interview was shocking. It wasn't a very nice way of handling me at that program. I was interviewed by many others, but in general, then the mainstream media was not very nice to the Palestinians in general, not only to me.
Ahmed Al-Nouk, I'll stop you there. More from the co-founder of We Are Not Numbers after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the co-founder of We Are Not Numbers, Ahmed Al-Nouk. Ahmed, I was interrupting you as you were talking about how you were interrogated by so-called mainstream media when you tried to describe scintillas of the genocide and in your own personal bereavement. I'm glad you didn't promote Piers Morgan as you criticized the hosts of the shows of these Western European countries that were arming the genocide. In the book, We Are Not Numbers, class is a very important issue. You describe how those between 18 to 29, which is the sort of target group for We Are Not Numbers, suffer mass unemployment, despair, obviously even before the genocide per se began as part of the siege. How does We Are Not Numbers give voices to that class?
Well, that is the point of We Are Not Numbers, is because this class has often been neglected and ignored. When talked about Gaza, we often hear from pundits, from researchers, from people who do analysis or talk from a political perspective or media perspective, but often those who are always neglected are those who are living on the ground, who are young people, who don't have the expertise to appear on media, on the Western media, or even the Palestinian media. These people who lived, they were kids. They were little kids, a few years old when the blockade on Gaza started. So they have lived their entire life under the blockade that started after 2006, 2007. They have lived their entire life under blockade. They have lived entire life living wars, a war after another. They most likely never left Gaza. Most of our writers who were in Gaza never left Gaza in their life. They never had the chance of meeting people from outside world. They have lived their entire life in Gaza and they were disconnected from the world. And we believe in We Are Not Numbers that these people, especially these people, they need to be heard. They need to be listened to. Their stories need to be shared and written widely, not only in English, in many other languages. And that was our focus in We Are Not Numbers. That is not to undermine people who are older than 25. Everyone is special in their own way. But in We Are Not Numbers, we focus on these young people who have a lot of enthusiasm for the world, who have dreams, who have good education, who went to school. And they have these stories that deserve to be told and shared widely.
I mean, Edward Said, the great Christian Palestinian critic, is known better in NATO countries, arguably, for his love of Jane Austen, said, "The legacy of US colonialism and the feudal tribal lives in Palestinian society prevent a kind of class unity." Is the resistance fragmented? I don't know how you think this book shows that fragmentation, because they all seem to come from a similar perspective. But is the resistance fragmented between rich Palestinians and poor Palestinians? I'm not trying to divide and rule, clearly. But is that one problem about unifying a resistance against UK, US, EU armed Israeli aggression?
Well, I think the Palestinians, as I mentioned earlier, the Palestinians are 10 or 11 million people. They have different backgrounds. Some of them are Muslims, some of them are Christians, some of them
are... And they're scattered across the world.
They're scattered across the world, and Israel separated the Palestinians from each other, people in the West Bank, in Gaza, and Palestine 48, around the world. So we have different backgrounds, we have different lives that are meant to fragment the Palestinian people, and keep them separated, fighting for their own different problems. But I would say that the Palestinians, despite their classes and despite their geographical location, they are united against one thing, which is the Israeli occupation, the injustice that is being practiced on the Palestinian people. Of course, we have some different approaches, different ways of resisting the occupation. And when I mean resisting the occupation, when I talk about resistance, I don't talk about the armed resistance. Armed resistance is one of the forms of resistance that we have among the Palestinian people, but we have different other types of resistance. Nonviolent resistance, we have the resistance through art and journalism and writing and all of that. And all the Palestinians are united in resisting the occupation.
You see, some people might not agree with that, because they can see the enrichment of people in the Palestinian Authority and under Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas. And isn't this class division responsible for the lack of unity in opposing, through a structured way, the Israeli project? Isn't that kind of fundamental? And isn't that something picked up upon? It's not picked up upon, that kind of class division particularly, of the fact that the Palestinian bourgeoisie, for some, is the root cause of the lack of, the root cause of the fragmentation of the resistance.
I don't think we have a lot of bourgeoisie in the Palestinian society. We are mainly
in the West Bank,
middle class. There is a few bourgeoisie families in the West Bank or even in Gaza. You know, historically Gaza was doing well in the West Bank, and but I don't think that is the cause of the fragmentation of the Palestinian people. I think Israel and the Israeli occupation and the Israeli policies are the reason of the Palestinian fragmentation, if there is actually a Palestinian fragmentation. I would blame Israel for all the ills of the Palestinian people. I would never blame the victims.
I mean, obviously Zionism began with the ideas of unifying class and quasi-socialist practices as they came to Palestine to throw out the rightful Arab owners off that land, which perhaps gave them strength. I don't know. How long do you think the efforts of We Are Not Numbers are going to be successful in smashing all that fragmentation? And I mean, the worry is, of course, that the children in this book, they themselves in the future may be exterminated in another war on Palestine, and the genocide continues despite the so-called ceasefire.
The genocide is continuing despite the so-called ceasefire. Every day, at least 8 Palestinians in Gaza are being killed. Israel bombed Khan Yunis, and we have an average of 8 Palestinians killed in Gaza despite the announcement of the ceasefire. The occupation, unfortunately, will continue. Israel is determined to take more than 50% of the Gazan land. They will stay in the Gazan land. The occupation and the genocide will continue in different ways, unfortunately. And I really do not want to see another generation of the Palestinian people exterminated or killed or harmed. And We Are Not Numbers will continue to resist the occupation with words, will continue to advocate for the Palestinian rights. We will continue to write stories and share them with the world. We will continue to write books, and we will continue to illuminate the world about what is the reality of living in Gaza and under the occupation. I hope that in the next decade, Palestine will be free. I hope that the Palestinian people will not have to endure this pain and suffering. I hope that the Palestinians will finally gain their sovereignty and freedom and dignity. And I don't want I don't want to see another decade of suffering and pain and misery of the Palestinian people. And that's why we have to work collectively with each other. Everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching, they have to help the Palestinian people, because alone, I'm not sure we are going somewhere in the future.
I mean, what have you felt being there in London about the so-called fake liberalism? How has it managed to mask the support for the genocide in these countries? They see themselves as cultured Western institutions, the universities. You saw in the universities in the United States, people being deported from their degrees. For demonstrating, we see hunger strikers in Britain. Kamran Ahmed began a hunger strike a while ago. By the time this is broadcast, he may be off it for... I mean, you're living in a country where just wearing a T-shirt that expresses support for Palestine can send you to prison for 14 years. Some have remarked that it has also marked the end of liberalism and the liberal project in Western Europe. It has a boomerang effect.
We think there are a lot of values that have been promoted in the West that have been proven hypocritical, to be honest. We live in the West. We thought that liberty and freedom, inequality and the rule of international law is prevalent, and that these countries are based on democracy and the people have the absolute power. But then when the genocide came, we have all these values have been exposed. I no longer believe in any of these values. I believe in a principle with these values, but I don't believe that the Western countries can ever breach to us about human rights or the international law or democracy or freedom or equality. I don't understand what that means anymore in the West. It's but also at the same time in the UK, the people in the UK have proven to be a people who care for justice, for freedom, for dignity. We have seen a huge, massive protest that went out in support of Palestine and in support of the Palestinian people. But unfortunately, their government has never represented them in the way that they deserve.
And just finally, countries that were obviously much better on this, Russia and China, they nevertheless, and we are not numbers, may depend on Donald Trump, the head of the Board of Peace or whatever it is of Gaza, after Resolution 2803 was passed at the UN Security Council. They vetoed they didn't veto that resolution. They abstained. I mean, what did you feel like about Russia and China? They were citing the fact that Arab countries were all accepting this resolution, so they abstained. What did you feel that Russia and China didn't veto it, the Trump peace plan?
I don't know how I feel about it, but it's just funny that the U.S. this time did not veto this decision, this UN resolution, and they vetoed all the other resolution that called for the end of the occupation and end of the genocide in Gaza. And sometimes I just feel that this UN Security Council was made to protect Israel and to shield Israel from any accountability. It is what made this impunity for Israel that enhanced the genocide, enhanced the occupation. And I'm just, if you are speaking to a Palestinian, if I want to represent the Palestinians in this, we are so failed and disappointed in all of these world institutions. We're disappointed in the UN. We are disappointed in
We're running out of time, Ahmed, but I mean, I should say Russia and China did offer words of support for Palestine all through it, unlike these NATO nation countries. But I should just finish by asking you, are you afraid that a second volume of We Are Not Numbers won't come out, given the draconian legislation passing through these NATO nation countries, claiming that to oppose genocide is somehow a crime? Let alone the power of Hollywood, Larry Ellison, the Oracle CEO relative who runs CBS News. Are words going to change for the worse to protect Israel even more in the future with Silicon Valley?
I am worried about the future, especially after this genocide, and after we have seen that the social media played a huge role in educating the world about the genocide and what is really happening in Gaza. And then after that, we have seen that TikTok is being sold. We have seen new measures in the US media and new draconian measures against the pro-Palestine support on social media. I am afraid, I hope that we will not reach a point where books like We Are Not Numbers will be banned, or institutions like We Are Not Numbers will be banned or attacked in the West. I hope we will not reach to this point, but I believe if people do not take a step forward now to defend their freedom, to defend their liberty and human rights in the West, I'm afraid the West will be very draconian in the future. I hope it will not be that free world that they pretend they are.
Ahmed Al-Nauk, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for the show. We Are Not Numbers is out now. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by the UK-US-EU armed genocide across Palestine, Lebanon and Syria. We'll be back on Saturday. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country. And head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.